Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
He did not watch TV, he disliked the news, he didn't listen to political radio, he didn't take sides, he wasn't on the left, he wasn't on the right.
People like Michael Savage, for example, who every time you listen to them are furious at the left. With anger it just builds and builds in their voice, and by the time they go to commercial, they're just in some rage every night with ugly talk, ugly sounding talk, and it never changes, it never modulates. They must have an audience. I looked at the numbers today, they have big audiences.
Yes, it's me and I'm in love again. Had no love and say you know when. You know I love you.
All right. Well, I don't know who sounded ugly talk and angry. It sounded to me like the town drunk was the angry one, not me. It sounded like Tip O'Neill's front man was the ugly, angry one, not me. Look, we could turn the whole show into, you know, Chris Matthews and his absurd statements. He reminds me of the kind of kid in parochial school who stepped on other people's arches and screamed to the nun that someone stepped on their arch. So let's just dismiss him. He's a loser. He never got where he ever wanted to be. Ever since he left the Democrat Party, he's been unknown fundamentally. And we know that Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste. And as you can see, the vermin on the left are not letting this horrible, horrible tragedy go to waste. They're trying to blame their political enemies. And that includes a long list, and I can read you some of them. And you've probably heard some of it. You haven't heard all of it. You heard from the jerk from MSNBC trying to blame me. We had the Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik, who tried to blame people on the conservative right. Then there was Little Joe Klein of Time Magazine tying it into illegal immigration, and a president who was a mixed-race president, blah, blah, blah. Even the fool who runs the University of California at Berkeley, the chancellor, another dummy, came out and said that because the DREAM Act didn't pass, the man went off and shot the congresswoman and others. And, you know, when you look at these things, you have to wonder, how can anyone ever vote for a Democrat when you see how detached from reality they are? Now, look, I define this for the medical condition it is several books ago, liberalism is a mental disorder. That says it all. But now I want to get very serious with you because, you know, death is about as serious as it can be. You have a kid, a young man, who was unhinged. He was a pothead, but more than being a pothead, we found out today he was apolitical. Play the one again on the, he didn't listen to talk radio in case they missed that. You know, that one.
He did not watch TV. He disliked the news. He didn't listen to political radio. He didn't take sides. He wasn't on the left. He wasn't on the right.
Now, that's his high school friend saying that the shooter didn't listen to radio or watch TV news. So that debunks everything that the vermin on the left are trying to throw at us. They're the ones who now look like the haters and the madmen, which they are. But now I want to go to an area where I'm an absolute expert, and that is the area of medicinal herbs, because that's something nobody in the media understands as well as I do. Nobody. There is nobody in radio or television who can come near me. I have a real PhD in it. I mean, they try to make this into a weakness. You know, I wrote 20 books in the field of nutrition and health. I have a PhD from the University of California, and I'm supposed to be ashamed of that? Now I'm going to tell you something. You better listen up very carefully. This kid, this shooter, used a very dangerous Mexican hallucinogen known as salvia. You may not know what salvia is, but you're going to learn how dangerous salvia is today for your child's developing mind. I've been trying to warn you about the dangers of certain so-called natural herbs on this show, but apparently people in the media who are so ignorant of science have no idea what I'm talking about. According to sources that are reliable, mainly his friends, they said that Jared Loughner smoked a heck of a lot of salvia. Now, let's start with this. What is salvia? Well, it's known as magic mint, but it's been banned in 15 states, and federal legislation had been introduced to regulate the plant as a Schedule I drug like marijuana, heroin, and ecstasy, right? So what should you know about salvia, which the Arizona madman smoked? Well, would you like to learn something about it, or is your mind already blocked like the people on MSNBC? First of all, let's go back in time together. Salvia sounds kind of natural. Well, I will remind you that strychnine is also natural. There are many toxic poisons that are natural, fool. But the hallucinogenic plant Salvia divinorum has been used for centuries by so-called spiritual healers in Mexico. They used it in Mexico for centuries. But let's ask ourselves what it might have had to do, if anything, with the madman becoming completely unhinged and shooting the congresswoman and others. Well, let's look at the science as opposed to the rhetoric. Several scientists did an experiment. Okay? You ready for this? Two men and two women, it's a small sample, who were mentally and physically healthy, free of any drug abuse problems, were each given 16 increasingly larger doses of the active ingredient in salvia called salvinorin A, and four doses of placebo, that means sugar pills, or let us say an herb that had nothing in it. The individuals took the drugs in 20 sessions over 2 to 3 months, and they were observed. Two of the four participants, now this is the critical thing you're going to learn today. Two of the four people who were given salvia, which the Arizona madman also smoked, had also experimented with common hallucinogens like LSD and mushrooms, and also with Salvia divinorum. They used hallucinogens such as LSD, they used mushrooms, they'd also previously tried Salvia. And in this laboratory environment, they reported that Salvinorin A resulted in a hallucinogenic effect that was as strong as imaginable. And, wait, it gets even better. They said that they had an experience with it that was different from that of other hallucinogens. They said that previous experiences with LSD or mushrooms had not detached them so completely from their sense of reality. Emphasis. Salvia took them into an entirely different realm of consciousness, they said. Participant narratives indicated intense, highly unusual experiences characterized by changes in spatial orientation, feelings of energy or pressure on different parts of the body, and unusual and sometimes recurring themes across sessions, such as revisiting childhood memories, cartoon-like imagery, and contact with entities. In other words, that which is experienced by Chris Matthews on a regular basis. Those experiences, no doubt, are experienced regularly by those on MSNBC on a daily basis. I'm not saying that they use salvia, don't get me wrong. But those who use salvia indicated intense, highly unusual experiences characterized by changes in spatial orientation, feelings of energy or pressure on different parts of the body. That would explain the fellow who was allegedly known to urinate on himself on MSNBC every night. Unusual and sometimes recurring themes across sessions, such as revisiting childhood memories. That would be some of the other hosts on MSNBC. Cartoon-like imagery. That would be Chris Matthews, who deals in cartoons. And contact with entities. That would be the entire spectrum of those on MSNBC, wrote the study's authors, and in my interpretation. So I've incorporated some sarcastic humor involved with reality. And what you found out today was that, A, the shooter was not political. B, he was a big user of salvia, a Mexican hallucinogenic plant, which is very, very dangerous, banned in 15 states, should be banned across the nation. And the fact of the matter is that the active principle in salvia is as potent as LSD and essentially the most potent naturally occurring hallucinogenic drug, according to Dr. Brian Roth, a biochemist and neuroscientist at Case Western Reserve University. This is very important stuff. Studies have shown that this principle from salvia works in the same area in the brain as morphine and related pain reducers known as opioids. I think I've given you enough science. I know many of you are going into overdose. You'd rather just hear me insult the people on MSNBC and have a good laugh. But there's no need to do that. They just get up every night and they make a bigger fool of themselves night after night after night with their intense, highly unusual characterizations such as spatial orientation, feelings of energy or pressure on different parts of their body, mainly those parts of the body underneath the broadcast desk, and recurring themes across sessions such as cartoon-like imagery, which they specialize in, and of course contact with entities, which is well known in the liberal press. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. So ladies and gentlemen, what have you learned so far? You've learned that Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste. You've learned that Obama will not let the crisis go to waste. You learned that Sheriff Dumnick in Arizona won't let the crisis go to waste. You've learned that losers on the left will not let the crisis go to waste. You've learned that there's a new dangerous drug out there that your children should absolutely be forbidden from using, and you should report them to the police if they smoke salvia, and every state in the union should ban this dangerous hallucinogen. I love when they say it's a Mexican hallucinogenic plant that has been used for centuries in shamanistic ceremonies. So that makes it good? That makes it safe, idiot? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. There is unlimited material on what the radical left has been saying in order to try and blame people on the conservative side. Perhaps the maddest thing said was the University of California at Berkeley's chancellor now. This is not just a kid. This is the top guy at the University of California at Berkeley where I got my PhD. The chancellor said because the DREAM Act didn't pass, the shooter killed these people. He should be forced to resign immediately. If I was on the Board of Regents, I would force the chancellor to resign. Now, the president is going to speak tonight about an hour and 45 minutes. And I really pray that he cools down the lynch mob. I really pray that he cools down the radical left and puts them in their place because they're responsible for this hatred that is raging throughout the media. If you'd like to comment on anything I've said so far, you know the number, right? Never let a crisis go to waste, said Rahm Emanuel. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So he, now look, where am I getting the statement that the Arizona madman smoked salvia? Just so you understand where this is coming from. Fox News is reporting that the very same friend of the shooter, okay, the shooter's name is Jared Loeffner. He had a friend named Zach Osler. And Zach Osler said he didn't listen to political radio, the shooter didn't take sides, he wasn't on the left, wasn't on the right, despite what the vermin on the left is saying, the kid was not political. But Osler said that the shooter began to spiral downward after a high school girlfriend broke up with him. Osler also said Loeffner then began abusing alcohol and drugs, including salvia, a legal hallucinogen. So as an expert in herbal medicine, laugh at your own risk, because I'm an expert in herbal medicine. Yeah, I'm an expert in medicinal plants, and a good percentage of the medicines that you take come from natural products. I know an awful lot about it. I'm not the world's leading expert, but I know an awful lot about this field. Salvia is a very dangerous and very powerful hallucinogen. It should not be used by children. It is banned in 15 states. It should be regulated along the lines of heroin and ecstasy. It was tested and found to detach people from reality, et cetera, as I explained to you before. Now, what is salvia? I don't want to go into the science again. You got the general drift of things on the insane lunatic and the shooter. Salvia is related to sage. Sage, 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 sage.
Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
See, everything is not what the liberals would like you to believe. It's all not easy going, easy listening. Now, yesterday when I talked against marijuana, we had a caller who said he was a pot consultant. There's actually people out there who call themselves pot consultants, which is apparently a new green job category created by the Democrats with your tax dollars. So if there are any salvia consultants out there whose ruffles got feathered yesterday. You can call me. if your ruffles got feathered yesterday by my conversation about marijuana, and you want to defend the use of salvia, and you want to unruffle your feathers or unfeather your ruffles, give me a call. 1-800-449-8255. Albany, Matthew, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. Listen, I've been listening to the airwaves all day today, and something astonishing happened on your behalf. What's going on is, with the shootings and everything in Tucson, Arizona,
right.
Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, and Sean Hannity have all mentioned your name, sir, along with theirs, as being bashed by liberal media.
I'm shocked. I'm just stunned that they would break the blacklist and even mention that I exist. That's very un-Soviet of them.
Well, this is
how true. Very American of those gentlemen.
Well, this all.
I mean, to their credit, they understand that it's one for all at this point, or all for one. I mean, if they let me go down for this, they're going to go next.
Well, the thing is, you know, I know you've been banned in Britain and everything. I haven't even been able to afford to buy a copy of Trickle Up Poverty.
All right, well, you're going to get one for that nice report. Stay in the line. I didn't know that. I never listened to the radio myself. I don't listen to political radio. I really don't. The truth is, that's very funny. I don't even watch TV news if I can avoid it. It's so toxic. It's so agitating. I don't watch the news and I don't listen to radio. I do my radio show, honest to God. Who has the patience or the time to listen to other radio shows or to watch TV? I can't watch them anymore. The leg twitchers on Fox, I used to be enamored of them, not because they were pretty, but all right, they did it. I don't watch them anymore. I'm bored of it already. I have my own mind, you know what I'm saying? Make up my own mind. So by the time I get on the show already, you know, on the East Coast, do you know what time it is? Do you have any idea it's different than on the West Coast? It's 27 minutes after 6 o'clock here and 27 after 3. When the show's over tonight at like 9 o'clock, 6, I go out to dinner. I'm going to have spaghetti and meatballs and drink a couple of Heinekens. So what does that make me? It makes me a person just like you at the end of the day. There's no differential. And I am telling you that these people on the left who've been blaming people on the right, they should lose their jobs for this kind of intellectual vomit or this intellectual diarrhea that's coming out of their mouths.
Savage.
He did not watch TV. He disliked the news. He didn't listen to political radio. He didn't take sides. He wasn't on the left. He wasn't on the right.
Acts of monstrous criminality stand on their own. They begin and end with the criminals who commit them, not collectively with all the citizens of a state, not with those who listen to talk radio, not with maps of swing districts used by both sides of the aisle, not with law-abiding citizens who respectfully exercise their First Amendment rights at campaign rallies, not with those who proudly voted in the last election.
You know, I have a new respect for Sarah Palin. Her speech today was the best thing said. This woman has shown herself, A, to have guts, which we know, and B, to have leadership. There's no word from Romney, again, the invisible man. There's not one word from one Republican, all hiding, not one word. Nobody stood up to the left-wing attacks but Sarah Palin. She's the only one who has the guts and the brains to stand up to the mob. And I have no respect for her, frankly. The inane and insane attacks by the vermin on the left show them for what they are. But I'd rather focus instead on the scientific element of the hallucinogenic herb that this kid was allegedly smoking. His friend said that he went downhill after he abused alcohol and drugs, including salvia, a legal hallucinogen. And I've tried to bring some science to this discussion, which of course will fall on deaf ears, because there's such science illiteracy in the media. The fact is that salvia is a Mexican hallucinogen used by so-called shamans in Mexico, but it's so dangerous it's been banned in 15 states. And the fact of the matter is, this kid, no doubt, became unhinged from using this and other drugs, perhaps. And I've cited some of the actual scientific studies. And why you are not responding to this, I'll never understand. It's because, I guess, you don't hear about it on television, so you figure that we shouldn't talk about the drugs the kid used. It's germane to the discussion of why he did this. The drugs and or medications that he may have been on, incidentally, are germane to this discussion. Let us not forget Columbine and the kids with the black trench coats, they were on Prozac-like compounds, if you remember correctly, and that was hushed up by the media because the pharmaceutical establishment. Now, you got to understand something about interlocking boards of directors. Many of the people who sit on pharmaceutical boards, sit on the boards of the media, sit on the boards of finance, etc., they don't want you to hear that Prozac, in many cases, can induce homicidal urges and homicidal acts in people, or in fact suicidal acts in 20% of the population who take them. They don't want you to know anything about the dangers of Prozac-like compounds, so you're not going to hear much about the dangers of any drug, because they want you to think all drugs are good for you, and that there's never any such thing as a side effect of a drug. Well, this is a field I'm pretty knowledgeable in, and I'm warning you, get your kid off marijuana, get your kid off salvia, and get him into treatment if he's on it. Don't believe the crap that because it's natural, it's good. How many natural products out there can kill you? Many of you don't even understand that there are things that are natural that can kill you. Shall I give you a list? Shall I bore you with reality? Well, I'm not going to do it because I've made my point. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's start on the East Coast, New York City, WOR. Mark, go ahead, make your comments.
I'm a recovering alcoholic and a heroin addict, Michael. I got 32 years clean time. I'm a member of AA. Marijuana was my gateway drug into heroin.
Bingo. So I'm right about that. I know that. But you see, the people who would argue that I'm wrong would say, well, milk, you drank milk as a baby before you used marijuana. They try to be wise guys with everything, don't they, Mark?
Of course they do. That's their part of their denial system.
But Mark, did you ever use salvia?
No, but this is the interesting thing about salvia. I just read about salvia about a month and a half ago, and I live in an affluent town in central New Jersey here, and the denial system that's hooked into the parents of the children in this town who are whacked out on marijuana, alcohol, salvia's next.
Right.
Because the interesting thing is about salvia is that it's coming from Mexico, and it makes sense that it's coming into Arizona, the Southwest.
There you go. And, of course, since it's from Mexico, it must be sacred.
Yeah, right, exactly.
See, it's all tied into ethnicity, and if the ethnics use it, it must be good for you. Because you follow the drift, don't you?
Yeah, I do. But, you know, and this is relevant, though, to what is going on in this country today, Michael, and you hit on it. The politicians in Washington, they are impaired, whether it be Prozac, whether it be pot, whether it
bingo,
be
again, a double bingo today. How many of those politicians are on Prozac or on psychotropic drugs that pharmaceutical companies sell or on illegal drugs? Do we have any idea how many of them are drug addicts?
Well, let's give them a drug test.
Well, you know, I once worked for a local radio station, and we all had to take a drug test because it was owned by a major corporation. Why should Congress not be subjected to drug tests?
No reason at all.
I mean, it would explain why they're giving a country away to China, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, that's part of it. That's part and parcel of it. But again, they have the power. And it's incumbent upon the American people. And I don't see too much hope. I got to be honest with you. I'm a 65-year-old guy. I'm looking to get out because I don't see too much hope.
Mark, you know, 65 is young. You know, 65 today, I know the drugs probably set you back a little bit, truthfully, you know, in physical and all. But 65 today is like your father at 45, don't you think?
Well, but you know what it is, Michael? It's like I don't want to be around to see more pain, mental anguish. And I understand there's no perfect.
Oh, wait. You're thinking of checking out of life altogether?
Oh, no. That's not what I mean at all. I'm talking about moving out of the country.
And where are you going to move? To France?
No.
Well, at least you have a sense of humor. No, where are you going to move?
I'm not. You and I'll talk off the line. You don't think I want to have these people follow me?
Well, no, this is a whole conversation for a less, let us say, a political time, but I know a lot of people who want to leave America. There is nowhere else to go. This is the last America. If America goes, the world goes. You have to stay here and you got to fight the left. You got to stay here and you got to fight the communism. You got to stay here and you got to fight the socialism that's creeping across the planet. You've got to stay here and vote in good conservatives. You can't leave. I'm not letting you go, Mark.
Yeah, hold on. Michael, you bring up an interesting point. Now, I want to segue into something here about what Glenn Beck put out there. He said something, there is no limit to what a man can do or where he can go if he doesn't mind who gets the credit. Do you recall him saying that?
Well, he didn't say that. That is derived from a certain Chinese philosopher of several thousand years ago who he probably never read. because he didn't go past high school. That's from Lao Tzu, I believe.
Exactly, but I'm following up with what you're just saying. It's like I've reached the saturation point, Michael. I have sent documentation to Glenn Beck. I know he's a recovering alcoholic, and I sent documentation to him, and this guy gleaned everything that I sent to him. He used it on his program, and I got...
Well, I can't comment on that, but look, he's not the only one in the media who uses reader-provided show content, Mark. You know, don't expect to get credit for things like that. So you're feeling like you should have gotten credit for what you sent them?
Not at all. Let the guy give me a call and say, hey, Mark, you want to go out for a cup of coffee?
That's never going to happen. But I'll tell you what, I'll give you a book. I'm going to give you Trickle Up Poverty, Mark. Stay in the line. And God bless you for fighting alcohol and drugs. It's a murderous thing to do, honestly. I respect anybody in this world who couldn't control drinking or alcohol and did it. I don't care who they are. I don't care what their politics are. Anyone who has the strength to do that, to me, is a hero. And that's true. I mean, and by the way, I know someone who did it without any AA. Sheer willpower. Sheer willpower. No treatment. No hello. My name is Mark. I'm an alcoholic. Nothing like that. Okay? He just made up his mind that drugs or alcohol was killing him, and he never used it again. Okay? I mean, that's strength of will, you know. But anyway, look, we're talking about something to do with killing now, you know. That's what we're talking about. A young guy goes crazy. He shoots somebody, a congresswoman. He kills others. It's a monstrous criminal act, and there should be no blame. But instead, you got Chris Matthews saying Michael Savage is responsible for the ugly political talk in this country. You have Little Joe Klein of Time magazine saying it was related to anti-illegal immigration. You had the Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik saying it's about preaching hate, to hate the government. Yeah, the Chancellor of the University of California saying it's because we didn't pass the DREAM Act. It's unbelievable to me how they get away with the lynch mob mentality. The lynch mob mentality. And I want to go back to something else. And I have to remind you again. Right after the Muslim major Nidal Hassan killed 13 fellow soldiers, including a pregnant officer, a pregnant soldier. He killed 13 of them. He wounded about 30 of them with a handgun. In the military, Major Nidal Hassan, we were lectured by the Secretary of the Army, the Secretary of Defense. Every one of them, everyone on the left in the media said, don't rush to judgment. I mean, we saw a video of him in a 7-Eleven in the morning saying, buying his last thing. He says, Allah Akbar, according to some eyewitnesses. The video of Nidal Hassan shooting disappeared. It was taken away from a soldier who videotaped it. And we weren't allowed to mention that this was an act of an Islamic terrorist at the time. We were told, don't rush to judgment. Don't say a word. But the minute this happens, the imbalanced, intellectually weak left goes berserk and starts blaming those on the other side of the aisle. So I would blame them for the heated rhetoric, truthfully. And frankly, we have a right as Americans for loud, loud, vociferous debate. That's the mark of a democracy. There is no such loud, vociferous debate in Syria or in Libya or in Venezuela anymore because friends of our administration, such as Hugo Chavez, do not permit it. The mark of a healthy democracy is where people shout at each other, by the way. They shout at each other and they express loud political opinion. That is the mark of political freedom. And I want to remind you of something else. There is no need for a First Amendment in a dictatorship because if they disagree with you, they take you away in the middle of the night and you're never seen again. So they don't really need a First Amendment. We need the First Amendment in this country. We need it very badly when you have rabid, mad dog leftists who are screaming that we on the other side of the aisle, who represent the majority of the American people, have no right to our opinion, have no right to express our opinion. And I will tell you something else. What are you going to now do? Lock up every Italian man in New York City who has a loud voice? You're going to lock up every man who has a loud personality because it might offend you? Why don't you go and see how people actually talk when they're alone? Should now that be made illegal because a man gets up and he says loud things about Obama? He says loud things about liberal politicians because he loves the country so much? It was men like that who saved this country in World War II Go look at the names on the crosses in Normandy, if you think I'm making it up. And you'll see that it was the loud men who saved this country. By and large, it was the loud men. And I'll remind you of something else while I'm giving you this speech late at night on the equivalent of C-SPAN. Years ago, Hillary was in the minority party, Hillary Clinton. And she got up and gave a speech which I happen to agree with, which we're going to play for you right now. Listen.
I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
See, I agree with Hillary Clinton. Don't assume that just because she's on the other side of the aisle that I disagree with her. I've had Charles Schumer on this show, if you even know who he is anymore, when we had the Dubai ports deal. Should I have just sat here like a dummy when Bush tried to force our port security, take it away from us and give it to his buddies in Dubai? No, I had a right to say that was a dangerous mistake. Okay, now there are other topics I have to get to today that are much more important than this, incidentally. And there is of no greater importance than what Obama's doing to our national security. No greater importance for you to pay attention to. Our Stepford Wife Defense Chief Gates is over in China. He's nothing but a Stepford Wife, in my opinion, of Barack Hussein Obama's leftist pacifist mentality, right? He goes over there. He's there now, Gates, our Defense Secretary. And what does China's military do? They unleash a new stealth fighter for him to see. And according to Air Force and fighter pilot specialists, this plane can mop up the floor with our best planes. And all of our experts, so-called, in the military industrial establishment were caught flat-footed. They were so busy robbing the Treasury for their pet projects that they let China get ahead of us in stealth technology. So as I say, this is very worrisome. My headline on michaelsavage.com says China's military mocks U.S. defense chief with new stealth fighter. Read the article yourself. I will be right back.
Savage.
He did not watch TV. He disliked the news. He didn't listen to political radio. He didn't take sides. He wasn't on the left. He wasn't on the right.
People like Michael Savage, for example, who every time you listen to them are furious. Furious at the left. With anger that just builds and builds in their voice. And by the time they go to commercial, they're just in some rage every night with ugly talk, ugly sounding talk. And it never changes. It never modulates. They must have an audience. I looked at the numbers today. They have big audiences.
I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
See, I agree with Hillary Clinton. That's when she was in the minority and Bush was president. She was angry when people said she shouldn't debate and shouldn't be angry. So she was angry, and she was right. And so it depends upon, you know, whose ox you're goring, kind of, as they say. And it's a shame to see people, you know, all across the spectrum, they're trying to use their own pet agenda to explain why the guy shot them, okay? Shot them. And, you know, I got to say this. I'm trying to avoid it. One of the strangest and weirdest comments was made by Abe Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League. Now, I realize this is the third rail of talk radio to many people, but I'm going to say what I think is right. Abe Foxman said it was inappropriate at the outset to blame Sarah Palin and others for causing this tragedy or for being an accessory to murder. He's right about that. He said, Palin has every right to defend herself against these kinds of attacks, and we agree with her that the best tradition in America is one of finding common ground despite our differences. I agree with Abe Foxman on that. Listen to this. He then goes on, and he pushes the envelope to again push his own agenda, and he says, still we wish that Palin had not invoked the phrase blood libel in reference to the actions of journalists and pundits in placing blame for the shooting in Tucson and others. Again, I'm quoting Abe Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League. He concludes, while the term blood libel has become part of the English parlance to refer to someone being falsely accused, we wish that Palin had used another phrase instead of one so fraught with pain in Jewish history. Why must he drag his agenda into this discussion for the same reason that the Pima County Sheriff did, for the same reason Little Joe Klein of Time Magazine did, I suppose, for the same reason the UC Berkeley Chancellor did, who said because the DREAM Act didn't pass, the shooter shot them, for the same reason Chris Matthews tried to attack me out of jealousy because he can't compete. So the majority of Americans are who we have to go to. 57% of people polled do not believe there is a link between political vitriol and the Tucson massacre. Did you hear that? So in other words, Michael Savage more closely approximates the opinions of the average American than does the so-called elite media, which is out of touch with reality and certainly not representative of the American people. I only pray that when President Obama speaks tonight, he does not join the pack and try to blame anyone. I doubt very much that he would do that because he realizes it would be a disastrous mistake for him. I believe he has to come out as a leader. I believe he has to say, let's cool it. I believe he's got to stop the madness, and I believe that he will do that. I hope he does anyway. We'll have to wait and see because he's going to speak in about an hour. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Many topics, fair game. Also, we pointed out tonight that the madman shooter used the very dangerous drug called salvia, which is banned in 15 states and should be banned as a Class A narcotic in every state of the union, in my opinion. Instead, many liberal parents wink at their children who say, well, we use a Mexican herb, Mom. Really great, Mom. It's really cool because it's all natural, Mom. And the kids are becoming completely unhinged with 37th in reading, 38th in math, 39th or 40th in science. Shanghai is number one in all of these subjects. We have children whose brains are cooked on medication from the pharmaceutical salesman and from illicit drugs and from bad diets.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
He did not watch TV. He disliked the news. He didn't listen to political radio. He didn't take sides. He wasn't on the left. He wasn't on the right.
People like Michael Savage, for example, who every time you listen to them are furious. Furious at the left. With anger that's just builds and builds in their voice, and by the time they go to commercial, they're just in some rage every night with ugly talk, ugly sounding talk, and it never changes, it never modulates. They must have an audience. I looked at the numbers today. They have big audiences.
I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need.
I think that there should be a law in America that you must be polite to everyone. I think there should be a new law passed that says you must smile at perfect strangers. In fact, I think that it should be a crime to be angry. I believe it's almost a crime to be angry. It's considered too somehow testosterone-rich male-like behavior. But I'm reminded of Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head and all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son. If you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you will be a man, my son. And I'll tell you the truth. It's worked for me for 30, 40 years now. And you know what? It's going to work for me today and yesterday and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. At the end of the day, I got to go meet my maker. You got to go meet your maker. I got to face God, and you know what? I'm going to go there with as clean a conscience as I can. And the last thing I want to do is go there saying, you know, when this tragedy occurred in Arizona, did I use it for personal gain? Did I use it to push my agenda? And I have to tell you, my conscience is clear on this issue. I wish I could say the same for Chris Matthews and for Little Joe Klein of Time Magazine, or for the Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dumnick. They are the ones who really should be ashamed of themselves. So let's look at other factors that may have triggered the lunatic. He used, according to his friend, drugs, including salvia, one of the most dangerous hallucinogens known to mankind, more powerful than LSD, known to detach people from reality in a manner more profoundly than magic mushrooms, so to speak, and LSD. And yet, it's only banned in 15 states. If anything comes of this, salvia should be banned in America, made a Class A drug. But you're never going to hear any of this because of the power of the drug industry in this country, number one. And number two, the idiocy, the lunacy of the, or shall I say, the science illiteracy of the media and the science illiteracy in Congress is so overwhelming that you're never going to hear any connection to the use of salvia. How about banning certain movies? How about banning certain records? How about banning certain recordings, rather? How about banning certain websites? Where do you want to end with this? How far do you want to go with it? According to the lunatic's friend, Osler, he had favorite movie preferences, including conspiracy theory documentaries such as Loose Change, as well as Donnie Darko and A Scanner Darkly. Now, Zeitgeist the Movie is a 2007 documentary which asserts that Jesus Christ is a myth, that 9/11 was orchestrated by the government, and that bankers manipulate the international monetary system and the media in order to consolidate power. I am telling you that these are some of the documentaries and movies that the madman, the Arizona shooter, liked. Let's go down the list. Conspiracy movies, now this is according to his best friend, were the most influential media of this lunatic's life. Conspiracy movies, not radio. Loose Change is a series of movies released between 05 and 09, which argue that the 9/11-01 attacks were planned and conducted by elements within the United States government. In other words, he's a truther. Donnie Darko and Scanner Darkly are movies about altered states of consciousness and brainwashing. So should we now indict the directors, the producers, and the distributors of these films and documentaries, Sheriff Dumnick? Should we go and drag the director and the writer of Donnie Darko and A Scanner Darkly out of their West Hollywood homes and beat them up with rubber truncheons under a hot light in order to find out why they made these movies? Should we arrest everybody who has made a conspiracy movie saying that 9/11 was orchestrated by the government? Should they all be indicted and arrested by the U.S. government? Because that's where you're going to go unless you stop this witch hunt that is being promulgated by weak minds on the left. So we've connected it up now. Salvia, documentaries, conspiracy. It's fallen not on deaf ears. I am sure it's fallen on some very intelligent ears tonight. And I think that there'll be a little traction on the use of salvia. And you're going to understand that Rahm Emanuel, who said, never let a crisis go to waste, is fundamentally the intellectual godfather of guys on the left who are trying to take this crisis and use it to push their agenda. Let's take the callers on the Savage Nation, Sacramento, California, KSTE country. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Savage, taking my call. I teach high school in the East Bay.
Right.
And it's a continuation high school. Many of my students have drug and alcohol problems.
Yes.
You know, they're up to 18 years old. And it's remarkable that each of them has made three comments about salvia. Each one of them has said about the same things about it.
What do they generally say, Matthew?
Sure. One of the first things they say, it almost instantly makes them feel antisocial.
Uh-huh.
They don't want to be around anybody.
Ah.
Yeah. Now, the second thing, which I think is pretty scary, they say they have each person, and I'm telling you this, but six or seven students have told me this, they have a terrifying out-of-body experience that they can't understand, and they're just so terrified that they're actually feel themselves across the room looking at themselves.
Well, I think that they should go try out for a desk job at MSNBC. They could start out writing the scripts for some of the on-air hosts, and before long they can actually have the out-of-body experience and be a host on MSNBC.
Anyone who tries Salvia more than once is an idiot. And these are the kids who use and abuse drugs and alcohol.
But because it's legal in California, is it? Is that right?
Try it a second time.
But Matthew, is Salvia still legal in California?
Yes, absolutely. And
well, maybe Governor Jerry Brown, who is actually a man who cares about children, who created a very good military school in Oakland, maybe he ought to get more knowledgeable about the dangers of Salvia and ban the damn thing.
You're absolutely right. It's they buy it over the Internet. And since you need a credit card, they're getting adults to buy it for them.
Oh, mom and dad of the troubled youth saying, hey, if it calms him down, hubby, why don't we let him have some of that magic herb, that sacred mint from Mexico?
Well, I'll tell you, I've met many of the parents, and as they say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
You mean they're drug? The parents are sort of druggies?
Drunk. You can smell marijuana on them. You know, some of them.
In other words, the typical Bay Area parent.
Yeah, and this is an upscale community. I'm over in Castro Valley.
Of course it's upscale. How do you think they got there?
Yeah, they can afford it.
Yeah, you know, they can afford to be loopy and believe their own rhetoric. But let's talk about the serious nature of what you're talking about here. The Salvia connection to the shooter is very important, and we shouldn't drop it. I want to read something again from a study that was done. It says that Salvia divinorum is actually more powerful hallucinogen than LSD and mushrooms. That was an amazing story. They said that previous experiences with LSD or mushrooms had not detached them so completely from their sense of reality. Salvia took them into an entirely different realm of consciousness, they said. That's what you're basically reporting, aren't you, as a teacher?
Absolutely. And when the kids are explaining it to the other kids, their faces are not happy. They're not smiling. It's almost a terrified look on their face saying, don't try it. Which is so funny because they're willing to try almost anything, but they're telling their friends, don't try it.
You know, Matthew, I don't know how people like you, I mean, you get up every day. It's as noble a job as being a cop. Teaching is the hardest job on earth, particularly with the legal and illegal drugs that are in the minds of these kids today. I really don't know how they can learn anything. I don't know how they can learn what's inside an atom, let alone what's inside their own soul. How do you teach them what H2O actually is if you're a science teacher? How do you teach them algebra or higher mathematics if their minds are so screwed up with drugs? I don't know how you do it anymore.
You're right. It's almost impossible. They've dumbed down the curriculum in my 17 years of teaching. It's pretty disgusting, actually.
And I guess what we're trying to get at here, Matthew, is that this kid did not occur in a vacuum. He's a product of the society that we live in. He's a product of liberalism. He's a product of the liberal education establishment. He is a product of the liberal use of drugs. He's a product of the idea of if it's legal, use it. He's a product of if it's natural, it must be good for you. In other words, he's a product of virtually every negative thing in this society.
Oh, man. The fact that marijuana is legal for medicinal purposes, to me, is the biggest joke. I just can't believe that these adults can believe this kind of drivel.
Well, morphine is also legal for medicinal purposes, but it doesn't mean you should use morphine every day. I mean, of course morphine has a use for pain control if you're seriously in pain and you have cancer or something to that effect. But nobody recommends you use morphine recreationally. It has the same. This is the same mentality with marijuana. Perhaps tetrahydrocannabinol has some value for controlling nausea in people taking chemotherapeutic agents, but it does not mean that marijuana comes without risk. But we're focusing now on the drug Salvia. Matthew, let me send you a gift. Because I know your job is hard enough as it is. The name is Trickle Up Poverty. I have about 95 copies from the publisher to give away over the next week or two on the Savage Nation. When I come back, one more big segment, and then we have Congressman Alan West, who has also been condemned for this act against again, wrongly condemned because he was a member of the Tea Party by those who were jealous, those who lost their positions. They're trying to blame everybody who was just elected for what went on in Arizona. But again, I remind you of the most important statement. If you remember nothing else today, remember what Kipling wrote well over 100 years ago. If you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you will be a man, my son. Rudyard Kipling, I'll be right back.
Savage.
I do believe that the temperature out there among a certain segment of the population who sees things like illegal immigration, like a president who is a mixed race president, whose middle name is Hussein, there are a lot of people who have been encouraged in their extremism by stuff you see on TV. And on radio. Can't forget Rush Limbaugh.
After the shocking tragedy, I listened at first puzzled, then with concern, and now with sadness, to the irresponsible statements from people attempting to apportion blame for this terrible event.
Yeah, well, Sarah Palin showed herself to be a true leader. She, frankly, is the only politician of national stature who has come out with leadership on this. Romney, again, is worthless. I'm sorry to say it. I personally met the man. I like him. He's got a great story. No leadership whatsoever. He has not been there for us for years. He has no right to run for the presidency. I guess anyone could run for the presidency. But where is he on this? Where is he? Where's our leadership now? Where is there one decent man to stand up to the rabid mad dogs on the left and say enough is enough? Cool the rhetoric. You have no right to cast blame because there's plenty of blame to go around. So just knock it off. The only one who said it with dignity was Sarah Palin, by the way. So she's the only one that I respect right now for the presidency. That's a real change for me because I said she's unelectable. I may be wrong. That's all. She keeps this up. She might be very electable. But I want to focus not on saliva of the type that comes out of the side, the corners of the mouth of people on television on the left. But I want to focus again. Remember, salvia, not saliva. Don't go home and say Savage said saliva did it. Whatever you do, don't take the take-home message that Michael Savage blamed it on saliva. I'm not blaming it on salvia. I'm giving it to you as an example of one of the drugs that this kid was using. It's a hallucinogenic mint from Mexico that has been used for hundreds of years by so-called shamans, so-called shamanistic ceremonies led by spiritual healers in Mexico. You know, well, maybe it works in a ceremony in Mexico. Remember, I have a degree in ethnobotany, so I don't say that with contempt. But what may work in a ceremony in Mexico or may have worked in a ceremony in Mexico 100 years ago or even today does not mean it's safe for Junior to use if you follow the drift. Salvia is banned in 15 states. It should be regulated, in my opinion, as a Schedule I drug like heroin and ecstasy. It is a very dangerous hallucinogenic drug. And you must understand that the people who have used it are reporting the total detachment from reality. The effects are more powerful than LSD and mushrooms. And yet, of course, many people don't realize that because it's natural, it can be harmful. 1-800-449-8255. Time is just speeding along because when you can use your brain and when you can use your background as I am using it tonight, it makes time go by very rapidly. In that sense, the most intoxicating substance on earth is the truth. I don't know whoever said that, but maybe you ought to hear it a little more often. Truth is perhaps the most intoxicating of all medications. Truth will cure anxiety. Truth will cure depression. Truth will improve mood. Truth will increase insight like no pharmaceutical or hallucinogen ever invented. And the more you take these drugs and the further you get from the truth, the more anxious and sick you become.
Savage.
We're talking about the relationship between the use of salvia and other drugs such as alcohol by the shooter. We're talking about the kind of documentaries that he watched, such as Truth of Documentary saying 9/11 was planned by the government. This is all being lost by the hysterical leftists who are blaming Michael Savage and others, including wonderful congressmen who were elected recently as part of the Tea Party surge, such as Representative Alan West, one of my favorite congressmen in America, who joins us now on the Savage Nation. Congressman West, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Savage. It's always a pleasure and honor to be on your show.
So they're blaming you now? Did you also have them point the finger at you?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I heard that Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is also from South Florida, took the opportunity while she was on Meet the Press to, once again, blame me for something. But, of course, she did not mention on Meet the Press that she incited a riot and a protest outside of our campaign headquarters back in October.
It's a disgrace what she does. I've seen her activities over the years, and frankly, I'm not impressed with her. We can call her names, but we don't have to bother with it. You're an American war hero to me and to those of us who studied your background, which is why you were elected. We all know that political opportunism is such that Rahm Emanuel's credo of never let a crisis go to waste is operational today. And I think what's happening is that they're being hung by their own petard, Congressman. The American people are starting to see that this kid was unhinged. We heard from his friend that he was not political. He didn't listen to talk radio. So they're starting to understand that all of this blame is really falling right back on those firing the missives, don't you think?
Yes, it's absolutely right. I think that it's absolutely reprehensible that you would have some individuals that would see this, as you said, Rahm Emanuel, not letting a good crisis go to waste and try to use this for political opportunism. I know that Senator Bernie Sanders over from Vermont even used this as part of a fundraising letter. So this has no place whatsoever.
Well, Bernie Sanders is the only member of Congress who's an open socialist, isn't he?
That's correct.
So he would use this kind of event to raise money. I mean, let's call it like it is. But, you know, Congressman, I've said it tonight over and over again that heated rhetoric is the mark of a healthy democracy. They don't need the First Amendment in Venezuela because if they disagree with you, you get arrested in the middle of the night and disappear. They don't need the First Amendment in Syria or in the other despotic nations of the Middle East because there is no heated debate. We need it here, and frankly, we have the right and obligation to have heated debate, and I'm not going to stop. I don't think you are either.
No, and that was one of the things that people brought up to me, and I said that there are times when tough talk is necessary, but I don't think that I'm out trying to create any type of incidents such as what you saw happen. And when you go back and look at some of the things that our own president has said about not bringing a knife to a gunfight, or if the Republicans won in the midterm elections, we'd have hand-to-hand combat. So there have been some barbs that have been thrown off both sides. But, of course, no one wanted to, like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, mention the fact that I had my Social Security number published in a mail piece, mm-hmm. or the fact that television ads were run trying to say that I was a member of a motorcycle gang and I was dealing in drugs. And
wow. Oh, that's awful.
Well, Alan Grayson said that I had prostitutes in my basement. I guess he doesn't understand that in South Florida there aren't too many basements, first of all. So it's those types of things. Dr. Savage, when you cannot talk about the issues, when you have no message to deliver to the American people, then this is what you lower yourself down to. And I'm not going to be a part of this type of insidious and characterless rhetoric. I think that the people of South Florida elected me, and the people across America support me because I am thinking about what is best for their national security and their economic security.
Well, that's what I'd like to be talking about, is that our defense secretary going to China and the Chinese blindsiding him by showing off their new stealth fighter while he is there, which caught him by surprise and caught our entire defense establishment by surprise. To me, the Chinese military mocking of our U.S. defense chief by showing off the new stealth fighter is a monster story, Congressman West, is it not?
Well, it's a huge story, and one of the things that I have been talking about on the campaign trail, and I continue to speak about now, is the fact how our failed economic policies and, you know, the trade surplus that we have enabled China to build up is leading them to create one of the huge blue water navies, probably the largest that the world will ever know. We know that they're controlling the Panama Canal, and if all of a sudden China becomes a dominant sea power, then what happens with the sea lanes of commerce? And once again, we are now finding ourselves not just in a military race with China, but now also it's an economic war in which we find ourselves, and they're holding so much of our debt. So, you know, your economic strength and viability does have a direct tie to your national security.
Well, those are the issues that I think Debbie Wasserman should concern herself with instead of casting mud at Lieutenant Colonel West. But let's leave her out of the picture here. I have an article from January 11th from the Palm Beach Post in which it says that you are on your way into a West Boca Chamber of Commerce breakfast at Boca Lago Country Club, and you were asked if you had any regrets about his choice of words in the past. Congressman West, what did you actually say to them?
Well, I told them I did not have any regrets. I told them, as I said, that, you know, there are times that, you know, strong men need to have tough language, and, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, be a person that incites anything.
Right.
And so I don't understand what they are picking at. And I also told them that I don't recall them saying anything when there was a young man in Broward County by the name of Seth Platt who had this blog called the No West blog. And last year he said he wanted to skin me alive and posted that out there.
Horrible.
So, you know, once again, you know, I'm a big enough guy to look beyond some things, but you know, I'm really concerned about the liberal left, and of course, they're the complicit media that continues to give them a pass. But that's not my focus. I think that obviously I'm very threatening to the left because they can't debate me on my message or the issues, and they go to these snippy little chihuahua tactics.
Well, I quoted Kipling, one of my favorite poets, tonight, because, as you know, a lowbrow on MSNBC tried to blame me for this. And I said, if you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you will be a man, my son. I'm sure you were raised on such inspirational messagery, correct?
That is correct. And I had great parents. You know, my father was a World War II veteran, and my mom did over 25 years civilian service to a Marine headquarters in Atlanta. So they raised me to be a very principled and strong and convicted man.
Well, that's really beautiful, Colonel West. Are you still in Florida, by the way?
No, I'm up here in Washington, D.C. I flew back up yesterday afternoon. Of course, we had the resolution and the prayer service today to honor and remember the victims there of
right.
the shooting in Arizona, as well as our colleague Gabrielle Giffords. And I'll be back down to South Florida over the weekend.
Amazing. West told reporters that he has a concealed weapons permit, and so when it's appropriate, I make sure that I take the necessary precautions. West said, I'm not so much worried about my own protection. I'm worried about the protection of the constituents. West said he wasn't armed at today's event. At least two of West's colleagues, Rep. Jason Chaffetz, R. Utah, and Heath Shuler, Democrat, North Carolina, have said they'll consider arming themselves at constituent events. Congressman, I want to remind the audience right now that, I go back to a number of decades ago. I'm a little older than most in talk radio. I remember when I was a little boy, a group of Puerto Rican nationalists broke into the House of Representatives. Do you recall this event? Does anyone remember this? What happened then? Do you know this?
I remember studying about it, yes, sir.
A group of Puerto Rican nationalists broke into the House of Representatives and opened up with rifle fire onto the floor of the House. People don't remember that happened. I mean, God forbid, things happen. Terrible things happen in the world. But you can't go blame people for what individual fanatics might do. Anymore, we're told not to blame the world of Muslims or of Islam itself for the acts of a few. How can you blame the world for what this kid did? I mean, you may as well blame the movie directors that the movies he watched. You may as well blame the growers of salvia. You may as well blame the importers of marijuana. This is crazy talk.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think one of the problems we have in the United States right now is individual responsibility and accountability. Jared Loughner is responsible for his actions, and I'm quite sure that once we go through the proper legal proceedings, the truth will come out, and he will be convicted for those actions. But for people to try to always say someone else is responsible, I recall back with the Major Nadal Hassan case, how many people were trying to come out and say that he was suffering from pre-post-traumatic stress disorder.
Wait a minute. Pre-post-traumatic stress disorder.
Instead of just understanding that this was a jihadist attack against 43 of our men and women in uniform. 13 were killed and 30 were wounded. So I think, once again, we have to start holding individuals accountable and being, you know, right and truthful in assessing these situations. But, you know, the means by which so many people came out and just started to point fingers, it's not called for.
Again, before you leave us, Congressman West, China tests stealth fighter as Gates meets with Chinese leader Hu. To me, this is the most alarming story of the year, if not of the decade, because it seems to me that this political message from the Chinese military was meant directly for the defense secretary, and our entire defense establishment seems to have been caught flat-footed. Is this something I should be worried about, or is this something I shouldn't be worried about?
No, you should absolutely be worried about it, and the fact that they unveiled it before Defense Secretary Gates, that was sending the message, and the fact that they had that initial test flight while he was there, that is them conveying that, you know, we are in this fight against you economically, and also we're going to make ourselves militarily viable to challenge you as well. And so I am very concerned about, you know, what happens when the day comes when China sets their sights on Taiwan. We already know that you might as well say we're in a state of war on the Korean Peninsula because of the sinking of the naval vessel and also the 200 artillery rounds that were fired. And the reason why North Korea can be so belligerent is because they believe that China does have their back as their main supporter. So right now we have a very, very tenuous situation in the world as far as our security, and we haven't even talked about the situation down south of our border, which is starting to look more like Iraq or Afghanistan than anything else. So, you know, those are the type.
Well, watch the rhetoric, Congressman. Don't mention anything about the illegal aliens coming across the border, because before you know it, Debbie Wasserman's liable to say that you caused the next a violence attack in America.
Well, I would very kindly refer her to the Constitution, where it states in Article 1, Section 8, and Article 4, Section 4, that it is the job of the federal government to repel invasions. And I think that anyone that has come across our border that has not been properly invited, that is what the Founding Fathers called an invasion.
But you know the left doesn't respect the Constitution. In fact, when it was read, I believe on Monday, wasn't it read? Last week, wasn't it read by the new Republican Congress? And the left snickered at it. Didn't the Democrats get bored? Their attention span was not sufficient to even listen to the First Amendment, let alone the all 10 amendments to the Constitution?
Well, it was interesting enough.
To the Bill of Rights, excuse me.
Yeah, you did have some from the Democrat Party that did not want to participate, but it was a bipartisan effort. You know, I participated in the reading of the Constitution, which, incredibly enough, that was the first time it had ever been done. And I had the honor to read the necessary and proper clause. And I think it was very important to remember that Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords read the First Amendment last week, Thursday.
Well, she was also a gun owner, was she not?
Absolutely. She was a gun owner, proud supporter of the Second Amendment, and a staunch supporter of our border security.
Amazing. Amazing. And this kid, it came out today, according to his friend, was apolitical, didn't watch TV, and didn't listen to talk radio. I'm sure you heard all of that today, correct?
Yes, I did. I've been following the news. So, you know, once again, we've got to be focused on the large issues that are facing this country. We still have a high unemployment rate, the longest running unemployment rate above 9% since the Depression era. We are going to have a big topic coming up here with the raising of this debt ceiling. And we still have to do something about the out-of-control spending here in Washington, D.C., as well, you just mentioned, our national security and the threats that we're seeing all across this globe. So,
well, Congressman West, you're the man that represents the people of Southern Florida, to me, best. And I'm really proud to say that I feel that I supported you from the beginning, and I continue to support you. And I'm glad we have someone as strong as you and as patriotic as you, and frankly, someone who served this country as nobly as you did in Iraq. It's amazing to think that you decided to go into Congress instead of, you know, taking the easy route out and just going into business, if that's easy. I shouldn't say that that's so easy. But you are making a real difference just by being there. And I think after this horrible tragedy, you know, kind of dissipates in the background and the attention of America goes back to other issues, as it inevitably will, I think that we've got to focus on the issues of national security more than ever before, because testing a fifth-generation stealth fighter plane during Secretary Gates' visit is one of the greatest put-downs I've ever seen of a sitting defense secretary, and something has to give here. And I'll let you go right now. I know you're a busy man. I know that in a few minutes the president's going to speak, and we're all going to want to hear it. And I want to thank you, Congressman Alan West, for being with us tonight on the Savage Nation.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Savage, and greetings and salutations to your listening audience.
Thank you very much. The time is 49 minutes after the hour. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You know, the best of today is yet to come. In the waning minutes of this hour of the Savage Nation, you're about to hear something that should put chills up the back of your neck. Congressman West just mentioned that last week, the Congresswoman, Representative Gabrielle Giffords, who was shot in the brain by this lunatic, was there with Republicans and others reading the U.S. Constitution on the floor of the House. And guess what part of the U.S. Constitution this brave representative happened to have read? Listen now.
The First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances.
Now, if I had a greater capacity for drawing together all of the elements of what I've been trying to get at over the last few days, I would do so, but I cannot. I am literally speechless from what I just played for you. Here is a Democrat congresswoman who was shot in the head by a lunatic who did not watch TV, who didn't listen to political radio, who last week chose to read this, the First Amendment, to the Bill of Rights. That is what she read. Play it again. This is the woman who's laying in a hospital, fighting for her life, hovering between life and death, hanging on by a thread. We're all praying for her. And listen to what this woman read last week on the floor of the House.
The First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen. I rest my case, and I ask you whether you feel the lynch mob on the left is right in blaming those of us on the other side of the aisle, and we should not have a discussion anymore about these issues. You know that she herself would disagree with that allegation. She herself understood that the mark of a democracy, a vigorous democracy, is vigorous debate. She herself chose to read the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights. She didn't choose the 10th Amendment or the 9th or the 8th or the 7th or the 6th or the 5th or the 4th or the 3rd. She didn't even read the Second Amendment, even though she herself was a gun owner. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I think that those are wonderful words to remember. Please take home the proper message tonight. The lunatic, evil shooter did not watch TV. He didn't listen to political radio. He didn't listen to conservative radio. And the vermin on the left who are following Rahm Emanuel's playbook when he said never let a crisis go to waste not only owe me an apology, they owe America an apology for trying to capitalize on this tragedy. I also taught you that his friend, the shooter's friend, said that he began abusing alcohol and drugs when he lost his girlfriend, and he used the dangerous hallucinogenic legal drug salvia, which tonight I am calling for to be banned. It is banned in 15 states. It should be banned across the nation. It should be categorized as a Class A drug like heroin and ecstasy, because it is destroying the minds of millions of American youths who falsely believe that because it is natural, it is safe. Ladies and gentlemen, there's another big hour. Listen carefully on your local affiliate for more of the Savage Nation.
Savage. Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Individuals killed by the maniac in Arizona. Very sad day for America and a very nervous period for America. And the nervous Nellies on the left continue to cast libel at those of us on the conservative side, one after the other. Now, before I read you some of the lunacy that's been coming out of people like Chris Matthews, the Pima County Sheriff, Clarence Dumnick, Little Joe Klein of Out of Time magazine. It's astounding the things they're saying, but you should know this. The shooter's friend, Jared Loeffner's friend, says Jared did not watch the news and he didn't listen to political radio. He didn't take sides. He wasn't on the left or the right. Shall I repeat that in case you missed it? Jared Loeffner, the shooter's friend, said the suspect did not watch TV and liked and didn't and disliked the news. He said he did not watch TV, he disliked the news, he didn't listen to political radio, he didn't take sides, he wasn't on the left, he wasn't on the right. That's as much as we know. Now, he was a pothead. That didn't get any play. A marijuana head. And what you also should know is what kind of movies, what kind of video games, what websites did he go to? Do you know anything about that? In all of this heated rhetoric coming out of the vermin on the left, have you seen any of what the man has been looking at or things of that nature? Okay? You want to hear any of it? Because we could look into it. I mean, this is very, very important. There are people out there you can disagree with without wishing them, you know, harm. But the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of people out there who are inherently unstable, and when they listen to certain music, or they go to certain websites, or they go to certain movies, they become unhinged, and they start to do the things that the movies tell them to do. And we should look into those things. I'd like you to take a look at some of the websites that he went to, and things of that nature. So, I'm not going to read you all of the sites, we have them, but I don't think you'd be interested in knowing them. It's a generic concept that I'm giving you, which is very important. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. And what was the movie that Jared Loeffner liked best? Does anyone know? Well, he liked conspiracy theory documentaries such as Loose Change, as well as Donnie Darko and A Scanner Darkly. Now he likes Zeitgeist the movie. What is Zeitgeist the movie? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the reality of the shooter, the reality of the shooter's mindscape, as opposed to the losers who are accusing conservatives for having done this. He likes Zeitgeist the movie. It's a 2007 documentary which asserts that Jesus Christ is a myth, that 9/11 was orchestrated by the government, and that bankers manipulate the international monetary system and the media in order to consolidate power. Right? What else did he like? According to his best friend, the shooter liked conspiracy movies. And his most important were the ones I mentioned, but he also liked Loose Change, as I mentioned. What is Loose Change? Loose Change is a series of films released between 2005 and 2009, which argue that the September 11th, 2001 attacks were planned and conducted by elements within the United States government. Can you believe this? And what is Donnie Darko and A Scanner Darkly? They're movies about altered states of consciousness and brainwashing. Now, if you don't see the connection between the dangers of these movies and documentaries and the shooter, then you yourself ought to have your head examined. There are many on the left, by the way, who are in the same category as far as I'm concerned. Chris Matthews attacked me, basically implied I was responsible for the shooting. The Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dumnick said that we have responsibility because of our rhetoric. I guess any Italian who's hot-tempered or any Hispanic who yells a lot should be arrested now for being loud and for not being controlled and on medication. And then there's little Joe Klein of Time Magazine, who like to imply that it's because president's a mixed-race president whose middle name is Hussein, that this is why I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, liberalism is a mental disorder, so don't try to figure it out. And last but not least, the chancellor of the University of California at Berkeley, a once great university, said that the shooter went crazy because Arizona is anti-immigrant and because we didn't pass the DREAM Act. I'm not making this up. I'm not making any of this up. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I, Michael Savage, will be right back.
Savage.
Why Chinese mothers are superior. I have to go back to that. Because we have a nation of children who have completely gone off the rails as a result of bad parenting. And this article struck me as I read it in the Wall Street Journal review, Why Chinese Mothers Are Superior. Can a regimen of no play dates, no TV, no computer games, and hours of music practice create happy kids? And what happens when they fight back? And it's written by a brilliant, beautiful woman, Amy Chua, with her daughters Louisa and Sophie at their home in New Haven, Connecticut. She's a Yale professor of law and a mother. And she raises the children in a very, very strict manner that perhaps in this society would be considered bordering on child abuse when you consider the kind of loser mentality that we have for parents today. See, this is the opposite of, according to this woman, a Chinese mother would do the opposite. And so they use very, very strict upbringing, this woman does. And she says, I got to read this. For example, my Western friends who consider themselves strict, make their children practice their instruments 30 minutes every day, an hour at most. For a Chinese mother, the first hour is the easy part. It's hours 2 and 3 that get tough. You hear this? Do you believe this? And she's comparing Western American mothers and Chinese immigrant mothers. And the American mothers, I can't read you the whole article. You get the picture. I'm giving you the rough. She's very strict, and the children cry. They have tears. They break down. They fight with the mother. And she stays there fighting with them. And I'm going to read you some stuff because you're not going to believe it. She says, as an adult, I once did the same thing to Sophia. What does she mean by that? Chinese parents can get away with things that Western parents can't, she writes. Once when I was young, maybe more than once, when I was extremely disrespectful to my mother, my father angrily called me garbage in our native Hokkien dialect. It worked really well. I felt terrible and deeply ashamed of what I had done, she writes, but it didn't damage my self-esteem or anything like that. I knew exactly how highly he thought of me. I didn't actually think I was worthless or feel like a piece of garbage, she writes. Then she goes on and says, as an adult, I once did the same thing to Sophia, calling her garbage in English, when she acted extremely disrespectfully towards me. When I mentioned that I had done this at a dinner party, I was immediately ostracized. One guest named Marcy got so upset she broke down in tears and had to leave early. My friend Susan, the host, tried to rehabilitate me with the remaining guests. The fact is that Chinese parents can do things that would seem unimaginable, even legally actionable. Attention potheads, and children of potheads. Legally actionable to Westerners, period. Chinese mothers can say to their daughters, for example, hey, fatty, lose some weight. Hey, fatty, lose some weight, they can say to a daughter who's a fat slob. By contrast, Western parents have to tiptoe around the issue talking in terms of health and never ever mentioning the F word, meaning fatty. And their kids still end up in therapy for eating disorders and negative self-image. Blah, blah, blah. Chinese parents can order their kids to get straight A's. Western parents can only ask their kids to try their best. Chinese parents can say you're lazy, all your classmates are getting ahead of you. By contrast, she writes, Western parents have to struggle with their own conflicted feelings about achievement and try to persuade themselves that they're not disappointed about how their kids turn out. So I'm reading from an article by a Chinese-American woman, Amy Chua, C-H-U-A. The title of the article is Why Chinese Mothers Are Superior. And the reason it attracted me is because I was raised very much like this, and I didn't have a Chinese mother or father, but I was raised in that manner. It says, for example, if a child comes home with an A-minus on a test, a Western parent will most likely praise the child. The Chinese mother will gasp in horror and ask what went wrong, why did you only get an A-minus? If the child comes home with a B on the test, some Western parents will still praise the child. Other Western parents will sit their child down and express disapproval, but they will be careful not to make their child feel inadequate or insecure, and they will never call their child stupid, worthless, or a disgrace. Now, let me pause right here. When I was interviewed by the writer for the New Yorker, one of the key things he noted was how I was raised, because I was raised by a tough immigrant father from Russia, and I was raised very much like this. Ridicule. I said I was raised in a typical European manner of that time, which was with scorn and ridicule and derision. Scorn, ridicule, and derision is explaining exactly how I got where I am today. Now, I have a native intelligence. I'm lucky about that. I inherited it from my parents. I made mistakes along the way. I still make mistakes every day. I try not to. I'm only human. I made some very serious mistakes along the way. I used marijuana in college. It slowed me down. My grades went backwards. Marijuana is the most dangerous drug in history. Because I would never have used hard drugs. I knew the dangers of heroin. I knew schmucks who went into that. I met kids along the way who snorted it and said it's safe to snort. I never did that. Because I knew that those drugs were dangerous. But marijuana, it's harmless. It is not harmless. Very dangerous. It set me back academically. But in spite of the mistakes I made, because I was raised in the old European fashion, with scorn and ridicule, derision, calling me names, look how far I've come in life. And what I'm trying to tell you here is that Loeffner, the shooter in Arizona, was raised, no doubt, by very liberal parents, pothead himself, liberal pothead society around him, skulls in the backyard, a devil worshiper. Everything that liberals believe is okay as long as you express yourself explains why he went on this shooting rampage. It had nothing to do with talk radio. The fact of the matter is it's got strictly to do with the use of marijuana, number one, and liberalism as a child-rearing tool, in my opinion. You can't legislate against liberalism. You can't legislate against stupidity. You can't make it illegal to be an idiot, can you? So that's why I'm reading Why Chinese Mothers Are Superior to You. I'm trying to get you to understand that you've got to stop coddling your child. Call your child a fatty if he's fat and won't lose weight. Tell her she looks disgusting and no one will ever marry her if she's a slob. So what if she cries? Stop with the self-esteem. That's a product of idiocy put out by the government and whack jobs in the psychological world. It's good because that's what makes them secure, is they'll overcome it. So I'm going to read you more from the article. It's about her and her children. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Well, you want me to read any more? Chinese parents demand perfect grades because they believe that their child can get them. If their child doesn't get them, the Chinese parent assumes it's because the child didn't work hard enough. That's why the solution to substandard performance, she writes, is always to excoriate, punish, and shame the child. Man, who is this woman? I like her. That's why the solution to substandard performance is always to excoriate, punish, and shame the child. The Chinese parent believes that their child will be strong enough to take the shaming and to improve from it. And when Chinese kids do excel, there is plenty of ego-inflating parental praise lavished in the privacy of the home. So in other words, in our society, you ever see kids on the ball field? They miss the ball. The father says, good job, Johnny. I sometimes go past a little league field. I feel like crying. The kid swings like Arnold Stang or like a loser. The bat doesn't even come anywhere near the ball. Good job. Whatever the kid does, good job. So the kid doesn't know what a good job is. So the kid comes home with a D. Great try, Harris Nancy. That's okay. Don't feel bad. Let's go out for an ice cream cone because Michelle Obama says ice cream is good for you. Now, don't you understand what we're talking about here? This is a woman who's a professor at Yale, a law professor, and a tough parent. And here she is, a picture of her daughter Sophia playing at Carnegie Hall in 2007. And here she is making her other daughter play the violin. She looks good in a short skirt, too, by the way. Let's see what else we have in the article here. Well, anyway, you get the drift of it, right? Her husband, by the way, is a little softer than her. Her husband, Jed, has the opposite view. He says, children don't choose their parents, he once said to me. They don't even choose to be born. It's the parents who force life on the kids, the husband says. So it's the parents' responsibility to provide for them. Kids don't owe their parents anything, said the husband. Their duty will be to their own kids. She says, this strikes me as a terrible deal for the Western parent. Now, do you realize that this country's children are like number 35 in reading, in mathematics, and in scientific literacy? Do you know that Shanghai is number one in most of these fields? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? With all of the waste of money on psychobabble and, what do they call it? Making a kid feel good. What's that called? Self-esteem lessons. You know what I'm saying? Oh, don't feel bad just because you can't dribble the ball. We'll make you the captain of the team. Even though you can't dribble the ball, make you captain of the basketball team because we don't want to hurt your self-esteem. It's all rubbish. Well, how about the lying, thieving parents, the child who can read forwards? You understand what I'm saying to you? Now you understand why we're number 35 in mathematics, science, and reading? And she writes, that's why Chinese daughters can't have boyfriends in high school and why Chinese kids can't go to sleepaway camp. And it's why no Chinese kid would ever dare to say to their mother, I got a part in the school play. I'm villager number 6. I'll have to stay after school for rehearsal every day from 3 to 7 and also need a ride on weekends. She writes, God help any Chinese kid who tried that one. Now, if you look at people in the media, most of these people are blaming conservatives, Republicans, talk show hosts for the shooting because they have no mental discipline. In addition to being vicious little twerps, they have no mental discipline, which is why they rush to such a conclusion. And they're being laughed at across America by anyone who has the capacity for Aristotelian logic. And what I'm saying to you is guys like Chris Matthews are sad people at the end of the day. You can't even get mad at them. If you don't like what I've just said to you, send her a letter or an email. Don't send it to me. I'm Michael Savage. I hope I haven't hurt your feelings.
Savage.
We need real leadership. We need gutsy men who have been in the military to take over these intelligence agencies or we're cooked. We're dead. We need men who have faced the enemy and had the guts to shoot them in the face without consulting a book on what they can do. They're the only ones who can save us. Do you ever see Carl Levin? Have you ever seen him? The guy who tries to be Daniel Webster with eyeglasses on his nose? Carl Levin! Schmendrick Carl Levin! With eyeglasses on his nose, thinking he looks ministerial. He looks like a putz. The guy looks like he worked as a presser in the garment center. He's another one, a top of the intelligence heap, Carl Levin. Now, if you were in a cave somewhere trying to kill Americans, would you be frightened if you saw Carl Levin or Dianne Feinstein or that other sham from San Diego, the former mayor of San Diego, that other one? She looks hysterical every time they talk about guns and the military. Jane Harmon, another one. You look at these people. I can't believe this is why. I can't believe how you can't put two and two together, which is why things are happening like airplanes and guys' crotches catching on fire and Major Hassan being bounced up the chain of command, even though he was screaming Muslim this, Allah that, the war is illegal, signing reports with Allah be praised on them. Can you imagine if an army psychiatrist wrote Jesus be praised? Do you think they would have moved him up the chain of command and moved him down to Texas to Fort Hood? I kind of don't think so. But this guy was writing Allah be praised on psychiatric reports. And they still promoted him out of fear of the ACLU, the most subversive group America has ever seen, until the ACLU was actually broken up under RICO, until the heads of the ACLU are put in jail for sedition. You're in danger. I stand by those words. Until those rats, those pockmarked rats, are rounded up and tried for sedition and put away and their assets seized, we are all in danger. Every day I wake up, I see another lawsuit on behalf of the terrorists. They may as well be working for the other side because they are the other side. Every day I hear the same thing out of these psychopaths. And most of them, I'm shocked to tell you, are minorities in one way or another, and yet they always take the side of those who would kill them. Why? Liberalism is a mental disorder. Write it down. A very brilliant man wrote a book on it. But if you think that the senior operatives in our defense and intelligence agencies don't know that what I'm saying is true, you are mistaken. It's the people above them who are destroying this country. Take a look at the CIA under that laughingstock. The Peter Sellers lookalike. I can't even remember his name. Pancetta. Leon Pancetta. Sounds like a dish. Not like a leader. But it would be bad enough if that was a joke. Leon Pancetta let 7 CIA agents get blown up and no one gets fired for that misstep. Janet Napolitano lets a guy get on an airplane from Nigeria to Amsterdam with a one-way ticket with no luggage, without a U.S. passport, and she says that everything worked fine, the system worked fine. Well, it worked fine because there was a Flying Dutchman. That's why. He's still yet to be given a Presidential Medal of Freedom instead of some perverted nut that wrote a bad poem being invited to the White House. But you see, the people in the agencies actually know the danger, and they know what needs to be done, but they're controlled by the Napolitanos, they're controlled by Leon Pancetta, they're controlled by Feinstein, they're controlled by Carl Levin. Listen to this clip, for example, of a man who apparently knows what he's doing. He's the intelligence director, Dennis Blair, at a Senate Homeland Security Committee hearing expressing disappointment over intelligence leaks. Listen to clip 24.
The unauthorized leaks of the NSA intercepted this, or a CIA human report said this, or this airport is good, or that. I think are just making the job of those who are working hard to try to defend us that much harder. It costs the taxpayer that much more money, and I wish people would just shut the hell up.
God bless him. Now, who do you think he was referring to when he said, "I wish they would just shut the hell up"? I think he was referring to people like the ACLU, ABC, CBS, NBC. And the others, don't you? I kind of think that. Let's go to the callers. WRKO in Boston. Scott, you're in the heart of the landslide. What do you think today?
Yeah, Michael, I just wanted to make one comment, and that is you probably hands down the greatest broadcaster in the history of radio. And
I can't. I can't comment on that.
Okay. The point is that nobody else sees these things.
Exactly. No, well, that's the nature of reality. You read Machiavelli or you watch The Brotherhood on Showtime and you know more or less what's going to happen, right?
That's it.
So, Scott, you listen to me in Boston on WRKO, I assume?
I do. I actually I listened right when you first started coming on. I think it was, 2003.
I'll tell you the truth. I start a little later in that city, but I love Boston. I have for many, many years. I have a great plant collection in one of the museums there that I won't mention because I don't want the libs to go vandalize it, even though it's a superb scientific collection that I spent years gathering.
Michael, I'm really hoping for the best this time.
That's right. We can only hope for the best. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Tapped into that fear. And what did Obama tap into exactly? He ran on a campaign of love, I think. He loved Bush and Cheney, and his campaign was built upon love and respect for the opposition. I see. I see, really. Very interesting. Dollar is plummeting in value. We learned that Russia is moving into Canadian dollars to diversify out of U.S. dollars. We also learned that the Obamaites are asking to raise the debt limit by $1.9 trillion more. And I know we can't even figure out what that means. But about a decade ago, $1.9 trillion would have been enough to run the entire government for the whole year. Now the $1.9 trillion increase in the debt limit is good enough simply for a short period of time so that the gang that can't shoot straight can continue to rape the American taxpayer. Shall I put it in a more a clear manner for you? I don't know how to put it in a clearer manner. It's unbelievable to me. Here's the party in power. Here's the party in power that wants to raise the debt limit. Why do they need to raise the debt limit? Why not just cut the damn spending? Why not cut back on all of these damn entitlements? Why not cut pensions of federal employees by 30% overnight? Other countries have had to do it. Just say, I'm sorry, we're broke. We're cutting back on pensions by 10%. Go sue me. We don't have the money. Why don't you just say we're going to put a federal officer in every hospital in America, and unless you're a citizen, I'm sorry, we can't afford it. You can't get care. Our American citizens need care first. The seniors come first. Go back where you came from. No se habla español. That's all. You can't have free medical care anymore. We can't afford it. We're broke. That would save a lot of money. I'm not saying $1.9 trillion, but it would save a little bit more than you might think. In the state of California, if they put a highway patrol officer in every hospital, I've estimated a saving of between $10 and $12 billion. They say they have a budget deficit in this state of $25 billion. No one knows what it is. Remember when Schwarzenegger ran, we all, everyone got excited. Not me. Oh, not me. I didn't jump on the Schwarzenegger bandwagon. The budget is as inflated as his steroid muscles are. The same false looks that he has on his body from the steroid usage is the kind of books that he cooked in the state of California. Another phony. I said, watch out. They said, well, why are you saying that? At least he's a Republican. I said, well, number one, he's married to a Kennedy. Number two, within a few months, he hired the former chief of staff, a super left-winger named Kennedy, the woman, who ran the state for Gray Davis, the liberal Democrat who had run it into the ground. So I said, what do you think you're going to get here? It's all window dressing. I said, it's a liberal now, with a muscle-bound liberal, in other words, who speaks in a foreign accent, with a half-English accent. And then he wouldn't come on the show. That was the giveaway. That was the giveaway. Whoever will not come cross the threshold of the Savage Nation, you look out. Oh, they'll go on Hannity. Wallbanger's no threat to them. Wallbanger is lucky if he could say five syllables in a row without stumbling on them, without going, Oh, they'll go on Hannity. They'll go on Leprechaun. They'll even go on the Enemy show. The Leprechaun will even have Willie Brown on rather than Michael Savage. The Leprechaun will have a hooker, a terrorist, a murderer, but not the only member of the American media ever persecuted to this extent. Never. But where do you think my audience derives from? What do you think the audience of the Savage Nation is comprised of? You think it's all right-wingers? You're crazy. The largest percentage of listeners to this show do not identify as Republicans. They identify as independents. The independents rule. Not the Democrats, not the Republicans. Not the conservatives so much, not the liberals so much. The independents. I'd say the independent conservative more than anything else, if you want a definition. Well, if you're not willing to come onto this show and address the issues that we care about, borders, language, and culture, where do you stand on illegal aliens? Where do you stand on military trials as opposed to civilian trials for terrorists? Where do you stand on taxation? Where do you stand on so many other issues that are so critical to our survival as American people and also as a nation called America? Where do you stand on no one being fired by Obama for all of these intelligence failures? All of these failures on a security level. Strike one, strike two, strike three, no one gets fired. Where do you stand on that? What would you do if you were elected? Would you put in a new CIA director? Would you put in a new director of Homeland Security? Who would you put into National Intelligence? What would you do with a situation like Major Hassan? Would you single him out? Would you have let him move up the chain? Or would you have been afraid of the Muslim lobbyists? Hey, these are good questions. You're not going to get them on Fox News because a good percentage of Fox News, the news corporation, is owned by a Saudi billionaire. So you're never going to hear the M question or the I question on that network. Now, they do a very good job, don't get me wrong, on many, many things, and I do watch them. But I also watch MSNBC to see the damage that petrochemicals can do to a human mind. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm here, don't worry. Here we are. Okay, that's it. They know the syncopated clock. They know they're listening to me. I got to tell you a little boat story because it's interesting to me. The boat has run smooth as a destroyer escort since I got it over from Florida. Came through the Panama Canal on a boat, came up from Mexico. The boat has only 500 hours on it. It's amazing. It's a big boat, over 60 feet long. Twin 1,000 horsepower Caterpillar engines. Just runs like a small ship. Ran fine. All of a sudden, this Saturday, on the way to the fuel dock, I had a slight, vibration coming out of the starboard engine when I went over 1,700 RPMs. I couldn't figure it out. But the vibration disappeared after I filled the tanks with 1,000 gallons of diesel, which was about 7,000, 8,000 pounds, and I figured out what happened. Let me take the callers, 1-800-449-8255. We can talk about anything, not just this. Whatever you want. I mean, I'm excited. All right, so I got to talk about what excites me. I mean, there are other topics I talked about. You know, you just got to hear it, and you can call on any one of them. Chicago, Eric, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, your boat, probably two motors, probably has two fuel pumps. With two fuel pumps, there's two pickups in the tank, and they're probably set at different heights, slightly up.
I want to ask you something. Hold it. So I've got a large, two engines. They're 1,000 horsepower cat diesels. They're independent of each other, obviously. They're run on electronic controls. Are you familiar with marine engines?
Vaguely. Mostly more with cars and stuff, but the concept is still the same.
Well, I'm not sure that diesels run on the same principle as gas engines, particularly marine diesel.
No. It's an engine, though. It's got a fuel pump and a whole fuel
drive. I know. I understand. So I know. I grew up with the same theory of go through system by system. So it's slightly shuttered going out. When the tanks were almost empty, I had like 7% fuel in the tanks. Then I fill them up with 1,000 gallons. The boat's much heavier in the water, and the vibration goes away out of the starboard engine. What would that have to do with the fuel pump?
Well, if the one motor isn't getting quite as much fuel, it's going to run a little shaky.
All right. I don't know what it was, but it ran like a 747 on the way back. You know, it's funny. The night before, I had watched Escape from Alcatraz with Clint Eastwood. I sometimes like to watch movies about San Francisco that was set, you know, years ago. I like the Maltese Falcon, whatever movie was set here in the 50s, particularly the late 40s. But the Eastwood movie, and I love the Alcatraz pictures, you know, the foghorn in the city in the background. And wait, one other little story. You're not going to believe this. The boat docks, on the fuel dock, nothing. A few people wandering by, two, four, maximum at the end of a gas dock. Guy's there with his wife and kid. He comes over, he says, "Are you Michael Savage?" I said, "Yes." "How did you know?" He said, "I heard your voice." You got to understand something. I have a signature voice. Either they don't know what I look like because I'm in radio. Either they hear my voice and they know me wherever I am, or the dog. The minute I say Teddy, the guy says, "Teddy? Are you Michael?" "Yeah." So the dog, you know, he's not here today, buddy. He's off. He took a day off. He's smarter than me. He wanted to get out of the rat race of a radio, so he went to Camp Irene for a grooming and a walk, and I got him a cute raincoat. You ever see cute dog raincoats today? Just a lot of fun. That's all. San Francisco, Lance, welcome. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Can I talk about the boat, Dr. Savage?
Yeah, why not? I'd love to hear your opinion.
1,000 gallons of fuel weighs on the order of 7,000 pounds. You're approaching 4 tons there. And I'm
yes.
Sure that much mass in the boat will change the spring mass damper characteristics.
I think you're right. Now, hold on. That's incredible because I said, wait a minute, the vibration, the very slight tremor at 1,700 and up on the starboard engine. Remember, I was running with almost 3% of the fuel capacity going to the dock. And that's when I got the vibration for the first time. A very low fuel, figure on reserve, right?
Yep.
So here's a boat that's 62 feet in length overall, or 63. It is true that 4 tons of fuel is going to slightly flex the hull and the drive shafts, right?
Correct.
So that's what it was.
The vibration characteristics of the entire system. Imagine that the whole thing is like a large piano wire. And,
yeah.
And you change the tension on it or change the mass that is upon it. It'll change the natural frequency. And I think what you found was a harmonic with one of your boats and the hull at that minor loading.
I swear to you, that's what I figured out on my own because there was no explanation. Prior to this, it had run with no vibration. You know, as a guy who used to fix cars of my own, because I always had a broken secondhand cars when I was a kid, I had to learn the basics. I wasn't up to the level of the guy who could, get under the car on a highway and pull out the crankshaft. But I could do the other stuff, and I knew how to troubleshoot the basic systems, the fuel, the electric, you know, and so on. But this made no sense. You know, can I tell you one other thing about engines? I love engines and engine rooms. I always have. I spent one of the most pleasant rainy Sundays of recent memory in the engine room of my boat alone. You know what I did? I added oil to the engine. What else did I do? I took the water maker and made it run. It would have been on pickling, and I unpickled the water maker. It produces a phenomenal amount of water when you're cruising. I don't think I'll really use it because I'm basically a weekend boater. I just did little things in the engine room. And oh, I remember what. The steering, you're not going to believe this. This is of interest to you. I'm sure it is because it was to me. It has to be of interest to you. If you have a reasonably logical mind, you'll find this interesting. All right, I'll get back to the Obama bashing. Hey, he's terrible. Blah, blah. Look, we know what he is. We don't have to go into it again. We can take a rest for a minute, can't we? Or must you hear every second, Obama this, Obama that? You know, Alinsky this, Alinsky that. They heard Saul Alinsky already. Everyone's a literary genius and a historical expert because they heard the word Saul Alinsky. They love to say Alinsky. It sounds Eastern European, intellectual, and somehow subversive. So they, Obama, Alinsky, everyone's an expert on Saul Alinsky. We heard it all already. It's enough. Well, whatever. What else did I want to tell you? Oh, the steering was slightly soft. The captain, who hadn't been on it since he brought it up from Mexico for me, said, you know, your steering's soft. He said, there's an air pump. You got to get an air pump. And you got to pump up the booster. Blah, blah, blah. There's like a container down there that's supposed to be between 25 and 35 pounds per square inch. Like a bike pump, right? It was 10. So in other words, I said, what? I would have lost my steering if you didn't tell me that? He said, no, there's an auxiliary this that does that. So I went and bought a handheld bike pump. I crawled over the fire boy and prayed it didn't explode in my chest because it would have been like an IED. I mean, I know it sounds crazy. This big red fire system, fire control system, and to get at this damn thing, I had to put my chest over a fire boy that was the size of a big thing, like an infant, sticking up in my gut. And I'm pumping on the thing, and it's hard to pump by hand. And I said, if this fire boy goes off, it's going to go right through my chest, right through the deck. It was fun. I loved getting some oil on my hands. Why does a man feel good around engines? Every time I go to a boat store, I say, I feel like I'm in a toy store for adults. It's a lot of fun for me. That's all. It's a big escape. And I want one last thing on the boat thing. Can I tell you why? I'll tell you what happens with me on a boat. All of my problems disappear when I'm driving the boat or I'm in the engine room. Anything to do with my life, my personal life or my business concerns, whatever they may be, they go away.
Savage.